was coming of age. Fathers took pride in this day, preparing them in their own way for the test that was to come. One father took his son into the forest. He blindfolded him, and he sat him down. He tells the son that he's required to sit on the stump, blindfolded, the whole night, without getting up. He's not allowed to get up until the rays of the sun hit him in the face. He cannot cry out to anyone for help. And once he survives the night, he's a man. He cannot tell the other boys of this experience because every young man must enter into manhood in his own way, according to his own father's choice. Well, the boy's naturally terrified, and he can hear all kinds of noises through the night, as you can imagine. Wild beasts have got to be around him, of course. There might even be some humans there as well. All night the wind blew through the trees, shook the stump, but he sat as his father had instructed, never removing his blindfold, because he knew it was the only way he could ever become a man. And how much longer, though, must he have to wait? Everyone likes a good story, right? I'll tell you the end of this one later. Jesus frequently used stories in his teachings, didn't he? He used them to help bring in the audience to understand and to be able to put into picture what he was trying to say. And there was a lot of stories that he could tell, exciting stories, scary stories, heroic stories, stories about love, stories about hate, stories about revenge, stories about God. They provoked us to think about God and to think about ourselves and to think about God's plan. Psalm 78 is such a story, and I want to invite you now to take your Bibles and go ahead and open them up to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a great psalm. It outlines the how and why stories are a big deal in the Christian faith. It unravels for us the importance of passing on the faith through storytelling to the next generation. I want to begin by reading just the first five verses. We're not going to be able to read through the whole psalm, but we are going to hit highlight portions of it. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 through 5 of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. So here it is. He kind of lays out right away for us the how all this is done, the importance about it. It's going to be shared with in a minute here. So the words to be passed down personally, intimately, from one generation to the next. It is our responsibilities as dads and moms and everyone else to take the stories of God, the stories of God's working in our own lives, and passing those personal stories down to the next generation. The reason why will become important here in a moment. But these stories are very, very, very important. Now, there's different ways you can tell the stories. Right here's one way we do it. We do it through a large group gathering. We open up the scriptures and we talk about the stories of God from the Bible. That's why whenever you're choosing or picking a church, it's important that they actually have one of these up front and that they teach from it, that the stories you are getting are from the scriptures and the scriptures themselves. Now, in those stories of the Bible come personal stories, don't they, of how God worked out the truths in our lives or the lives of others. So this is one way we do it. But there's a lot of other ways. There's a lot of other ways, and they're all good, by the way, and they're all valid. We have Sunday school classes that teach these stories and share stories. We have small groups. We have Bible studies. We have discipleship groups, and each one contributes to the story about God and God's story and how we can become more like Him and to walk together. And each one is equally important. One is not raised above the other. They're all important. Now, this summer, we have a great opportunity to mix things up for a few weeks, just for a few weeks, for the purpose of sharing God's story with one another. It's up to you whether you want to do this or not, but it is important. I believe from Psalm 78, we're going to see the importance of it as well. Through the month of July, during the Sunday school hour, we're going to be gathering in the foyer, in the old conference room there, and if we need to spread out more tables or whatever, for coffee and donuts around 9:30. I know this is going to stretch some of you a bit, but it's just for July. A little bit different, an opportunity to meet a new friend, an opportunity to meet some old friends, to sit down and share your stories of faith, maybe a favorite Bible story, maybe something that God has done for you, maybe your own testimony with someone. It also gives you an opportunity, as you meet new friends, to hear their story. Community is a central part of our faith. It's not just lecturing or listening. It is interacting. It is talking. It is crying together. It's laughing together. It's sharing life together. And this is just a unique opportunity to be able to do that. And so during our time in July, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to listen. We want to share these stories from the Bible and personal experience. I bet some of you don't even know how some others came to faith in Jesus Christ. That would be a great story to share. And I want to invite all of you to be a part of this and not just put it off and wait until August when Sunday school starts again. I would say, yeah, this is a great time for us to do that. The psalmist talks about that right up front, about sharing these parables, these utter dark sayings, these secret hidden things, but we're not going to hide them with our children. We're going to pass them on one to another. Now, some may ask, what in the world do we talk about? Well, he covers that in verse 4. That helps us out. He uses two phrases, doesn't he? He says, we're going to tell the glorious deeds of the Lord. That's the first one. And that really is talking about counting your blessings. What has God done in your life? What has He done? The second one, he talks about the wonders, you see that He has done. To me, these are stories of how God has stepped into your life and have done amazing things. And it's not just necessarily our personal stories, because someone might say, well, I don't know so many amazing things that God has done. You might be surprised. You're all here, right? How many of you are still alive? Okay, how many of you woke up and you breathed? Yeah, and breathing's a big deal for some folks. Maybe not for everybody, for most people, they like breathing. How many of you had a nice meal? Only two people. Maybe we should start serving those donuts today. Pass them around. Oh, that would make interesting communion, wouldn't it? Pass me three more, never mind. So we have this going on, the deeds, the wonders of God, something amazing. And it's not really about sharing about how the Colts are doing. We pretty much know every year. So it's about other things. It's about what is God doing? What has God done? What has God done in your life? I want to hear that. It's both sharing, but it's not taking the conversation over so everyone's listening to your sharing. It's give and take. It's a great way to have community of faith. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, that's not my thing. Well, maybe you could come and listen and encourage someone else who needs to share. That could be your ministry. So this community here has these deeds of God, counting their blessings. I remember a hymn a long time ago we used to sing, remember? Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings. See what God has done. Amen? That's what we want to do. We want to count our blessings. And the way we can do that to help is not just say, look what God's done for me, but look what God has done and He can do for you as well. That's why we do this. So we have these great, great opportunities to do these deeds of God, sharing in the wonders of God. And they're God-centered based conversations. Now, verses 6 through 8 give us the reasons why. He gives us the how earlier. It's important, but he's going to give the importance now as to why do we do this? Why is it a big deal? I don't want you to miss this. This is a great psalm. Read with me along, and then we'll break it down, beginning in verse 6. You do have your Bibles with you, right? Your iPads, your phones, your scribing in your hand, whatever you do. All right, we're good. That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise to tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Okay, here's the things. We want three things that pop out of here right away that gives us the why we should take the time to have community and sharing the stories of God one with another, what God's doing. And by the way, I love it when it's so right up to date. Oh, you know, God did to me last week. You know, God happened to me. Yes, I want to hear your stories of what happened in the past. Those need to be shared. Your stories of faith, those need to be shared. But what is God doing with you throughout your weeks? Those are important too. So the first thing we have here is that the generations will hear the truth correctly and pass it on directly. Hear it correctly, passing it on directly. In other words, get the facts from the horse's mouth. What was your story? How many of you ever played the game telephone? Yeah, most of us know what it is. Well, this is kind of like telephone, except it's telephone on steroids. Because in the game telephone, if you're like me in high school, it might be kind of fun if you're having to play the game and you know how it goes. Now, I would never be like this. But anyway, it's possible that someone might in the middle on purpose completely change the message just to be funny. Add a few words, subtract a few words, on down the line. The thing about this telephone game, there's none of that going on. There isn't me with you, and I have five people while I'm still here sharing with you, the fifth person sharing with you what I talked about. It's me telling the story of what God's done for me while I'm alive. I can do it in several ways, of course. Verbally is a great way to do it right now. What has God done? I can do it through pen. Specifically, that's what the author, through the Holy Spirit, did. They did that for us. So this whole telephone game, it takes a whole a lot of effort to make sure that we're holding each other accountable to this word of God over a period of time. But it's all about right information, getting the truth correct and passing it on directly. Getting the truth right is a big deal. No one said amen. That's okay. It still is true. I saw this morning, I was reading through the newspaper a little bit and popped up, and there was a stat. Since 1973, 190 people have had their convictions overturned. Innocent people in prison. Some of them serving 25, 30 years. Most recently was several guys from Georgia that were accused when they were 17 years old of murdering their friend. And DNA evidence and other evidence came out and said they had absolutely nothing to do with it. Yet they spent 25 years in jail. Do you think facts matter to them during the trial? You think getting the right evidence is correct? Think about that in the spiritual life. That's so huge. You think, oh, it's not a big deal that we say, you know, salvation comes by faith through grace plus works. That's okay. You see what we've done? We have altered the truth in some way, and then what will happen with the next person? Well, it's by grace through faith plus works, plus you got to do this. What? And then it just gets added on to. These are the things that exactly happen. And when Jesus shows up in the Bible, and when Jesus shows up in the New Testament, right, you can see it. He's like, what in the world? Don't you know what the prophets said? They even wrote it down. And you guys have added all these things, have messed it all up, and you've messed the people up. So truth matters. The generations need to hear the truth from our mouth. What has God done for you? Share it. Tell it. Not just the stories of the Bible, that's where it starts, but how those stories of the Bible keep real in your life. Those are powerful things. Get the facts. It's important to tell the truth. So that's the first one. The second one, he says, here, the idea is that so our kids won't lose trust in God and they won't walk away from the faith. It talks about in verse 7, they should set their hope, there's the word hope, in God. So that's the second idea. Setting their hope in God. Hope means to develop a confidence, a trust in God based on previous experience with Him. All these things that God has done based upon His faithfulness and how He has walked and been with us through times, difficult times, based on the truth, the facts of that. I can declare to you that our God is a faithful God. Amen. And so you're able now to take these truths, these facts, these things that won't change, and you can help share that to our kids, the next generation. Why is it important? Because our kids are losing their hope in the Lord. They're trusting other things. They're trusting chariots. They're trusting their own horses. But the Bible says we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And us, you and I, are sharing these things with our kids. There's going to be many more of them that are going to walk away from the faith. By the way, many faithful parents have shared those things, and kids still do. But we have done our part. And that's what I'm calling all of us to do, to be faithful, to do that. We need to help them to understand, to set their hope in God. So how do the kids walk away? Actually, verse 7 kind of gives you a little bit more with that. I want you to see what goes on here in verse 7. He talks about, so they set their hope in the Lord. First one, not forget the works of God. So one of the reasons our kids will walk away from the faith is because they forget about God. God now has become so part of a larger culture in their life. Instead of being the center of life, center of their life, their Lord, their God, their Creator, understanding about Him, what He has done for them, how much He loves them. He sent His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sins, for the sins of the whole world. And the Father raised Him from the dead 3 days later. This is a great story of love. Everybody ought to be excited about it. What are you looking down and fountain about it? You ought to be excited about that. So God sent His Son to bring us salvation. He's alive. He offers faith and hope to all who believe in Him. So we have this truth, and we can pass that on, but they forget. And sometimes we stop there with our kids. We said, man, I did a good job. I exposed my children to the facts of the faith through people, myself, bringing the word. They trusted Christ, and I'm done. Oh, you're just beginning. You're just beginning. You're just beginning. You got to take and start putting more truth about God. And the reason they forget is because we don't say it very much. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty bad about that. I know you might find this hard to believe, but sometimes my wife has to tell me 2 or 3 times what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, maybe you're not like that, but it happens with me. It takes repetition. Isn't that how we teach our kids? Repetition. I told you one time. Well, you might have to tell them 100 times. Especially when they're young in the faith. I want you to think about young in the faith with a 2-year-old. Do you just tell a 2-year-old one time what to do and think he's got it? If you do, I want you to volunteer for our nursery here, all right? Because that doesn't happen. You have got to tell them over and over and over again, and they walk away from the faith because they simply forget. They don't remember at all. And Psalm 78, it really is kind of can be what have you done for me lately syndrome. You can see it all through the whole psalm. I'm just going to highlight a few things here in a second. But here, God helped walk them across the Red Sea, parted it, dry land. But they got to the other side and they said, well, what have you done for me lately, Lord? I know you can do that, but I don't know if you can do the next thing. I'm hungry. I need food, God. We're here in this desert. What are you going to do? I need food. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Look at all that I've done for you. Jesus was not a fan of this syndrome, by the way, and I thought I'd just write down one little passage for you to think about. John 6, 25, 26 says this, when they found him, that's Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And this is Jesus' response. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, but not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. They forgot the whole reason that they were there with the Lord. They got their food, they got everything, but they forgot the words. What did he say? And we forget. And where there's no stories to pass on, my friend, listen carefully. Where there's no stories, there's no faith. Where there's little stories with your children and grandchildren, there's little faith. But God's story is repeated over and over again in different ways help develop faith. So here they are. They have this word of God and these things that can absolutely destroy their hope. And the reasons they need to share these stories is because they can lose hope. And one of the reasons they lose hope is because they forget what God has done. They forgot. But there's a second reason, he says, and here, it's right here in the text. Talks about, forget not the works of God, they forgot, but keep his commandments. They need to do what God said, in other words. One of the reasons they walk away is because early on, and through their young, bringing up lives, and even in their young adult lives, they don't obey and do the things of God, and everybody does this. None of my business. I want to blow that out of the water. It's all of our business. I would pray to God that if any of you ever saw one of my kids, I don't care how old they are, doing something that is wrong, you would first yourself, you don't have to come running to me, would go to him. I thought we were family. Is that just a word we throw around? Or is it truth? Well, if it's truth, let's be family. I promise to do the same for your kids. They may not like it. They certainly won't like me doing it. But I'll go to them first. I won't be running to mom and dad and tattling. But I will go to them. Depending on their age, I usually give them like 4 hours to tell their parents, not 24. And sometimes I give them 5 minutes. I've had this before. We must not allow the commandments of God to be tossed off to the side like they're not important. And that was one of the reasons they walked away from the faith. Somehow along the way, they didn't think, well, I obey most of the commandments, but I'm going to just sort of blow this one off and don't worry about it. It's okay. I'm doing my own thing. And the psalmist says, no, that's one of the reasons they're losing hope in God. They're blowing God off. They don't care about God. And so we see this principle at work. Now, here's just three examples. Now we're going to jump down to verse 9. The Ephraimites, armed with how the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They weren't supposed to do that. They did not keep God's covenant, but they refused to walk according to his law. Now, he's going through the history with them. He's sharing this. Turn to, I think it's verse 18 or 19 here. 19. Let's just read 17 through 19. Yet they still sin more and more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. And then they spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? And they doubted him there. And the third one down here in verse 22, verse 21, 22. Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel. Because why? They did not believe in God. So you have this progression. There was this first thing here. They didn't keep the law. They just made choices. Well, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do this. And since no one's going to hold me accountable, I'm just going to go ahead and follow through with it. I'm going to do my own thing. And then from keeping the commandments, what did I do? They started speaking out against God. They started taking on the culture's view. Because now they're not thinking that God's that big of a deal. I don't have to obey all of God's law. I'm going to pick and choose what I want, the things that I like. And now all of a sudden, now they're hearing other voices. They chose not to follow God's law. So they basically didn't keep the covenant. Then they spoke against God. Maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. And then the third thing became what? They did not believe. There it is. You see how the progression gets from less to worse? That's how it happens. It doesn't usually happen all at once. There's usually things in the heart. And so they just slowly began, and the people, the nation, allowed it to happen. The psalmist is saying, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. We are the people of God. We are the children of God. We are a family of God. And we help each other. We encourage one another. And yes, we hold each other accountable in our faith in a loving, humble way to help keep this faith passed on. So we have these principles going on. But there's really great news, dads. There's some great news. You don't have to watch your children walk away without a fight. Thank you. You don't have to watch your kids walk away without a fight. Hey, they're going to do what they're going to do. I get it. We did, didn't we? No one said amen to that. There were times in our lives we did what we wanted to do. But that doesn't mean you're going to let it go. You're going to love them. You're going to care for them. You're going to share with them, depending upon your situation with your child and their age. And all that all changes on how you approach it. But it doesn't change that you do approach it. I don't care how old my kids get. I've told them this 100 times. I thought Brooke would share that, but that's all right. Wherever they are, I'm going to be there for them, for the good and the bad. They're walking with the Lord, praise the Lord. If they don't walk with the Lord, they're going to get one of these. And I'm going to pick 3 in the morning. Yeah. Why? Because we're family. We just don't let it go. We just don't let it go. So here we have them. Here we have them. It's important that these children, they're shared, that they hear the truth correctly and they pass it on directly to their kids. That's the first thing we saw there. But also that so our kids won't lose the hope in God and trusting God. And because they lose trust in God, they just walk away from the faith. Well, that's absolutely on their shoulders. And they made that decision. But honestly, the body, the community of faith could do a better job. We could help them by sharing the stories. But there's a third reason here. Here's the third reason found in verse 8. Let's read that. That they should not be like their fathers. That's why you share these stories. He doesn't want to be like their fathers. And if you read the rest of the psalm now, we don't have time, you're going to get a lot more of the story. You're going to get the stories of their fathers and what they did. They did good and they did bad. But it says here in verse 8, they were stubborn, they were rebellious. Their heart wasn't steadfast. Their spirit was not faithful to God. I kind of title this, look, the reason we share stories with our kids, including our own, is so that they can learn from our mistakes. Maybe they'd be more apt to hear it. Because we're not perfect parents. We're not perfect people. And one of the things we can do to help the next generation, whether it's children or kids that you're, or teens that you're involved with, is by sharing your life with them too and the mistakes that you made. and why those choices were bad. That's exactly what he's doing. You want to read Psalm 78? Read some of this. On some of the things that the Israelites did that they weren't supposed to do. I mean, he lays it right out. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. Yikes. And then he kind of shares some stories about what that was, about them saying, hey, you know, thanks so much for bringing us all around here to this promised land and bringing us across the Red Sea, but we're hungry. And then he brings them food. And then after bringing them food, it was like, what have you done for me lately, a philosophy? What are you going to do for me now, God? And God just gets really tired of that fast. What are you doing? So he has this whole thing, man, what am I going to have? By the way, have any of you ever seen that TV commercial about stopping the smoke, where they have those folks on there who are obviously have some really physical issues because they have smoked? Am I the only one that has seen that commercial? I'm telling you what, that's a powerful commercial. It's about people who heard the message, they didn't follow it, and they smoked all their lives. This one lady, like, had half her face was gone. And then another person, they had to put this some kind of electronic thing on their throat so they could speak. I mean, I'm thinking, whoa, that's pretty strong information to give it out to folks. Maybe a good reason to stop right there. But maybe the best one was the tombstone, and they're not with their family anymore. I think that's what Psalm 78 is doing. I think that's what the psalmist is doing. This is his cigarette commercial. He's saying basically, hey guys, you should be trusting and following after God, and here's what happens when you don't. And then he shows all these pictures of disfigured nation, disfigured families, families in uproar, families that are all messed up. Does that sound like our culture today? Families with problems? Does our nation have problems? Well, this is his cigarette commercial. He's saying, hey, come on now. Do I really have to share this with you? This is why it's happening. That's why you can, but you can stop it by sharing stories. We don't want to have it all over again. There's great news here, even in the psalm. Those who walked away could come home. Those who have been broken by their own sin can be healed. Those who have lost faith can find faith again. Remember this Lord who loves you. Remember that God has done all these things for you. I've taken the liberty of rewriting 2 Chronicles 7, 17, and 18. This is my words, okay? But it's based on this word. I think it's a challenge for this good news. Here it is. You know the text is quoted a lot. You'll probably figure it out as I go. But here it is anyway. Oh, if you, old man or woman or teenager, would learn once again to trust me, walk with me according to the ways, the many ways your fathers and mothers before you had walked, not picking and choosing what you will believe or obey, but fully give yourself to me. Then I promise that your choices of obedience and love will return back to you over and over again. The life that you live for me, I will multiply in the lives of others as you invest in them. They will never lack, there will never lack one of my servants in the community. So you say, what in the world verses were that? Okay. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what? I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I will heal. I will heal. That means something's broken. That means something's messed up. So whatever you are today, if you're messed up, if you're broken, whatever your history was, or maybe you're going through it right now, baby, you're right in the middle of a mess with God. I got great news. This is your day. You can stop and you can turn and you can trust in the Lord God Almighty, who will bring forgiveness and hope in your life. You can do that right now. So dads, how does that happen on this Dad's Day? And by the way, the rest of you could do the same. No matter what age. It happens this way. It happens exactly as Psalm 78 says, by telling your story. Share your story of faith. Share the story of God's grace in your life. How God redeemed you and saved you. How God helped you in that situation 35 years ago. Or you didn't know what was going to happen 10 years ago. You prayed, and God came along and answered that prayer. Share your stories. Keep sharing them over and over again. And then share your stories, by the way, of this text. Share them, your favorite stories. How many of you have shared the story of Rhoda? How many of you don't remember the story of Rhoda? Don't be afraid. That's okay. All right. All right. Something for you to look up. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Stories of the Bible, they have so many great lessons for us so that we can not only grow in our faith, we can pass it along to the next generation. There's enough mistruth out there right now. We're going to have to infiltrate that with light. And that comes by passing on the truth of this gospel. One person at a time. All right, you guys are dying to know what happened to the father and that son, right? He was in the process of becoming a man. By the way, this is another culture. Don't judge it. I know some people, when I first read it, I went, and then I find out it's another culture. I'm like, forget it. Can't do that. That's the way it is there. I know we have our ways, but this is their way. All right? Just let that go. Don't miss the story. So, he's in process, he's there all night, he hears, every sound he hears, it's the monsters, right? You ever been there before? Here's the conclusion. Well, after a horrific night, the sun rays hit his face, and he removed his blindfold. And the first thing he saw was his father had been sitting next to him all night, watching over him and protecting him. His father turned to his son and smiled and said, "Son, I want you to know something. I want you to remember that you're never alone. Even when you don't know it, God is watching you." Amen. He's sitting on that stump in that forest you're in beside you. And when trouble comes, all you have to do is reach out to him. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not there. You don't think that story impacted that young man? Dads, you have amazing stories. It's time to unleash the power and share those with all who listen. Moms, teenagers, you've got stories too. And the way we can help our community grow, become strong and protected is by sharing these stories and encouraging one another. And by the way, it's okay to share the stories where you messed up. I got a lot of those stories. Maybe you have a few. But always at the end, it ends up being the God who is faithful despite me. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's the gospel message. Despite ourselves, despite sin, despite everything we might do, there is a God in heaven who saw our need and sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin that we deserved, for we were separated from God. And that story is beautiful because he took our punishment and now offers eternal life for all who trust in Christ alone. It's not by your good works. It's not by your understanding of the Bible. It's not by your church attendance, not even your church service that will bring you to the Father. For there's only one way to the Father, that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. You have to come to the cross. You have to confess and repent in the sense that you're agreeing with God. He is right, holy, and you are wrong and sinful, and you're trusting in him alone to save you. If you haven't done that, that's the story I share with you this morning. I think the best advice for dads today on this Father's Day gift is to tell those stories, to give back, and to share what God has done for you and what he has promised he will do as we move forward. Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm thankful for the stories that my Sunday school teachers, my Awana leaders, other people in the church, men and women of God, over the years poured into my life. I don't know how you felt about your services or even now the service you are doing, if it makes a difference. I can only share with you one story of my own that you're making a difference because the kids are listening. They may not pick up everything, but they pick up the love that you have because you're there. They pick up the words that you say from the Bible. And over time, those penetrated this thick skull of mine and got down to my heart. And because of the faithfulness of so many of children workers and teens leaders and adults, I realized I was a sinner. And I needed Jesus to save me from my sins. And I trusted in him. If you're here this morning and you're just kind of thinking and observing and you're looking about and you're wondering, you know, what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about a story of this gospel of the Lord God who loved us so that he sent his son. And he offers eternal life to you because you will not receive that. You will spend a life in eternity apart from God in a horrible place. That was designed for the devil and his angels. And so he offers to you a way to have a right relationship with him. Would you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ even now? You can do it simply by talking to him from your heart to his. Thank you, Lord, for saving, providing salvation, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God who died for me and rose again, paid for my sin, and I'm trusting in him to save me, in him alone. Change my heart, O God. And Father, now as we close our time here, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who have trusted in you and in the great stories that they have. I pray that they'll make it a habit, even now beginning to share those things and every opportunity they get, the God stories in our life, the God stories that are in the Bible. And even to challenge our kids and our grandkids with such stories, helping them to learn them, helping them to see the principles that come from these stories of what faith can do, of what disbelief could do, of what trust can do, of what walking away can do. And all these things to help us grow in our faith and as a community. And I pray that this community here, this family of God in this room, will not fall short of passing on to the next generation this gospel. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.